I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this evening for our scripture reading found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Congregation, hear the word of God. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me, they made me the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one of the that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his own holy and infallible word. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the portion of scripture that we read together, a Song of Solomon chapter 1, and with the Lord's help this evening, we're going to meditate on the second verse, which reads, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Dear congregation, as you know by our reading, this particular poem belongs to Solomon. It was composed by the wisest of men, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In its natural form, it belongs to the category of earthly prose or poetry. It's a romantic soliloquy from the heart by the earthly Solomon and the earthly bride. And this particular book of the Bible has been studied by poets for centuries because of the beauty that is contained even in the natural sense. And unfortunately, over the past 75 years in North America, people have looked at it in a naturalistic sense, and it's entered into the church where people say that this is simply a encouragement between husbands and wives, a pattern, as you, if you will, to live by in a romantic, godly relationship. But in its true meaning, it belongs to the heavenly Solomon. And they are the words to his bride, the earthly and true church, and her words back to him. It is the heart speaking to the heart. It's a soliloquy all throughout the whole poem. And a soliloquy is not just a monologue, but it is as an act of speaking one's thoughts aloud. When alone or in the presence of others, and not caring if you're in the presence of others. It's a soliloquy. In verse 8, we are listening to, verses 1 through 8, we're listening to the bride of Christ speaking about her beloved husband who's no longer there. And as we refocus our attention on the banqueting table of the Lord's Supper, we just spend a few moments tonight as a touchstone during a very busy week to focus our hearts again on that table. I want to meditate tonight on verse 2. Our theme will be, "Let him kiss me." And we're going to have three thoughts. First, we're going to see an absent lover. Secondly, we're going to see desired affection. And then lastly, deep kisses. Let him kiss me, an absent lover, desired affection, and then deep kisses. So first then, an absent lover. The Shulamite's beloved here is absent. We don't know why or where he has gone, but he's no longer with her. And at this point, her heart is throbbing with the sense of his missing love. And she says in her soliloquy, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Spiritually understood, this is the believing heart's longing for the presence of an absent Christ, from an absent Lord. But it's more than that. It is that secret, hallowed, yet truly experienced union and communion with him, which is sometimes consciously, but all too seldom enjoyed. It's really here a yearning for a fuller, a deeper, a new or refreshing abiding experience of his love. Because when the heart begins to taste it, the child of God longs to drink more deeply of that fullness. And yes, it's true, this was probably the prayer of the Old Testament saints for the promised coming of Messiah, the anointed Son of God. But now, understanding it in a fuller sense, it is the fulfillment that has come to the believing heart in the New Testament especially. And I'm wondering if you, as we read that chapter together, if you heard both lamenting and loving in this song. Do you hear lamenting and loving? There's something that's both beautiful and melancholy. I don't want to say depressing, but sad. There's something both beautiful and sad about missing someone you love. And if we have ever loved someone and we've ever been absent of them and we're then absent of their love, there's this desire to be reunited. There's this longing to be together. And you pine that you do not have the one with you. That's the sorrow. But under that lies a consolation joy, if I can say it like that. A consolation joy of the pain that you have someone to love. And you do love them. And so these two things are operating in this chapter especially, but others as well, with this this desire and longing and love, but this pain and sorrow that gives way back to love. It has this tremendous example for the child of God. Of all the relationships that the child of God shares with the Savior, we can think of friend. We can think of elder brother. We can think of the captain of my salvation. We can think of redeemer. But perhaps none is more intimate and comforting than that of a husband. If Jesus has betrothed his believing people to himself in holy matrimony and the covenant of grace, then we are his beloved bride. Then we're the apple of his eye, and we're the darling of his heart, and he is the gracious husband of our eternal souls. We are by sovereign grace forever one with Jesus, our husband. What a glorious privilege it is to be joined to Jesus in the blessed bond of marriage. He loves his bride. He cares for her. He defends her. He protects her. He provides for her every need according to his riches in glory. He comforts and supports and cherishes her. The child of God has his heart, and he has theirs. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. I belong to him, and he belongs to me. And she is saying, oh, that he were with me right now. That's her cry. Let him kiss me. I wish he was here to kiss me. And soon he will be. But let's look secondly at the desired affection. There's a type of affection that the bride here wants. It's a desired affection. She says, the kisses of his mouth. That's really a Hebraic redundancy. The kisses of his mouth. I mean, what else would he kiss her with but his mouth? But it's actually a deep expression underlying the intenseness of her desire and how much she longs and pines for him, and how her heart was set on him, and how she is eagerly desiring to have this intimate communion with him. The kisses of his mouth. She values the kisses of none other. Because she speaks as one who has experienced the love of the bridegroom. Thy love here is in plural in the original. So it's really, it could be translated thy loves. Because there's no end to them. He's continually revealing a new and deeper love and deeper expressions of that love. His loves are better than wine, more delightful, more intoxicating, if I can say it like that, more enveloping. Let him kiss me. And you know, because she speaks first in this poem, and deeply at that, her words don't imply that she loved him more or that she was more desirous of being in his presence and communing with him than he is with her. The opposite is actually true, because we know the Word of God says we love Him because He first loved us. When our Lord has revealed His love to us, we long for further manifestations. Oh, that He would come to me and reveal Himself in love and grace to my soul in some inexpressible way. Oh, to have Him at my very heart, to taste His love, to hear His voice, to have His everlasting arms around me, and the robe of His righteousness wrapped around me. Let Him kiss me. Her lips are connected with the desire of her heart. Let Him kiss me. And no name is mentioned. There's no need, because her heart is fixed on Him. For the King hath brought her into His chambers. Who could she mean but Him? And so when Christ, dear ones, when Christ is first, and isn't that your desire, believer? When Christ is first, all other loves fall into their proper place. And then suddenly we notice from the fifth and sixth verses that the Shulamite woman is in fact in this soliloquy not alone. We have mention made of her friends and companions, the daughters of Jerusalem. Or we could say the children of Jerusalem. The children of Jerusalem, not so well acquainted with Jesus as their companion was. Knowing but little, but longing to know more. These are the daughters of Jerusalem, her companions. And maybe that's why someone here tonight has come. Because you have seen and heard something of the beauty of Christ, and you have seen and heard that power active in the life of someone you know. And it intrigues you. Maybe a young person or children. You see something beautiful in this Savior because of something beautiful you've seen in one of God's children. And here in this whole letter, it's like these companions of Jerusalem, these women of Jerusalem, are following the bride around, and they're taking care of her and they're tending to her, but they're watching. They're watching this romance going on. And you can't help but think that that was their desire. And may it be your desire, but that you would not let that desire feed you, but the bridegroom Himself. We need to remember that the period of time when this song was written was when the people of God and the individual believer in the Old Testament were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the promised seed of the woman, the Shiloh of Jacob, the prophet like unto Moses, the captain of the Lord of hosts, the man who was to be in hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. And for that remnant in the Old Testament, that there was nothing that they longed for more than to see, dear ones, what we have seen. Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing was more passionately longed for or more earnestly desired than for this one to come, for this child to be born and the son given. And the prayer oftentimes in the Old Testament was, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and that thou wouldst come down. and that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Christ's incarnation was the hope of Israel. His life and death, their consolation. But to us in the New Testament church, it's the visitation of that Blessed One. And that's what the Lord's Supper is. It's a visitation of the Lord among His people in the special means of grace. One of the Puritans said, and I can't remember which one, in the Word we see Christ's smiles, but in the sacraments His kisses. And so lastly, let's look at this. Deep kisses. Let Him kiss me. Let Him kiss me. Let me enjoy the personal and individual tokens of His love. And it's the kisses of His love. And dear ones, the kisses of the love of Christ are sometimes diverse. They're not all the same, and they're not all given in the same way. Just like kisses aren't given all the same way in the Bible. Joseph kissed all his brethren, it says. David kissed Jonathan. When the prodigal son was seen by the father, yet a great way off, it says, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And in the Greek there it says, fell on his neck and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. And the thoughts in the bride of Christ here in this passage are filled with the kisses of His love. The thought was familiar to the bride of Christ. Again, we're told in the Psalms, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. And some of you tonight need to kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish in the way. Kisses are tokens of friendship, yes. Kisses are tokens of reconciliation, of forgiveness, and of heartfelt love. And the bride says, give them all to me, the kisses of His mouth. Which kiss do you need tonight? Which kiss? Kisses are an incentive to love, a symbol of love. And it was a bold request. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. But not bolder than welcomed. For the Holy Spirit has inspired these words to kiss me. Oh, we say it seems too intimate. No. Here we've moved into the wedding chamber of the child of God and the Savior. And you know, to kiss the hand, I've often heard of that, to kiss the scepter, or even to kiss the robe of a king was a great honor. But to be kissed with the kisses of His mouth? One kiss, many kisses, kisses of His mouth. And angels wonder at these kisses and they marvel. This is what they wanted to always peer into, to see the bride of Christ and the second person of the Trinity in unity. Jewish writers understood the kisses of his mouth to be the precepts of the law. That's how the Old Testament Jewish interpreters rendered this passage, the kisses of, or the precepts of the law. But we have learned more. If the precepts of the law represented the kisses of the Messiah's mouth, how much more the promises of the gospel represent them? Listen, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give ye rest. Does he not seem to be kissing us with the kisses of his mouth? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world give it I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Do this in remembrance of me. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The promises are his kisses. The full and free redemption, for all things are now ready. The it is finished. The declaration of the gospel is a kiss. The Spirit applying that word of God to the heart is a kiss. Repentance and faith, these gifts are kisses. The indwelling of the Spirit inside the child of God is a kiss. The sanctification of the life by the work of the Spirit is a kiss. The Lord's Supper is how also he kisses unworthy sons and daughters, unworthy ones, yet eternally loved souls. Is it any wonder that it is written in Psalm 45, grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Oh, it is the bridegroom kissing the bride with the kisses of his mouth and all of the gospel of God in salvation. And you know, I know it's Eastern language and maybe somewhat uncomfortable to our Western mind, but it's, dear ones, it's so full of meaning. The love that sends has sent us a message of tenderness and affection. A message of favor, dear one, of favor and of reconciliation. Of salvation, of relationship, of betrothal and marriage. And now it's no more uttered by prophets and apostles, but it's by the kisses of his own mouth in the Word of God and the applying of that Word to the heart. Where the Holy Spirit comes and he makes what was unseen before, clear and visible. And the heart begins to cry out, "Hast thou seen the one whom my soul loveth?" These kisses are given in the hearing of His Word, in the meditation on Himself, in the means of grace and prayer, and yes, even in the daily providences of life. And we don't often see it, that He is kissing His children time and again by watching and caring for them. But I dare say no more anywhere than the Lord's Supper. How He watches us, going before us in the way, and uses it to strengthen the weary heart. Oh, learn to look on the Lord's Supper as the kisses of His mouth. Because the secret of the Lord, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And in that secret, I'm not talking about something mystical, I'm talking about something experiential. The secret, the kisses of the Lord, is the secret. And yet, while all this is true, the highest and fullest manifestation is not going to be here on earth. When, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Because there is a communion, there is an eternal banquet. A communion with Him in heaven, where the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed us and lead us unto living fountains of water. And God Himself shall wipe away all tears. And there's this soliloquy that goes on between the child of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there is this conversation that we find even in the end of the Bible, because the last promise of the bridegroom is this: "Surely I come quickly." And the last prayer of the Bible is, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Thy love is better than wine. Kiss me. And even though the daughters of Jerusalem were listening, she's speaking to Him in her heart. How sweet to Him to hear her lips utter what her heart is full of. We learn here the lack of the visible, the sensible vision, and the actual presence of our Lord, that it's no real hindrance to spiritual communion with Him. Because, dear one, if His presence was necessary, the Lord would never have said to His disciples, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." And I dare say that there is more real power for spiritual enjoyment of Him in the gift of the Holy Spirit than in His actual personal presence. Otherwise, He never would have gone away. Quickly, I'm going to finish. "Thy love is better than wine," she says. Wine is placed before other earthly pleasures. When Esther invited the king and Hermon to the banquet. It was called the banquet of wine. And so here his love is compared to all blessings, all good things, the banquet of wine, thy loves, it says. Just like the kisses are plural, the loves here are plural. And dear child of God, what kind of loves are there for you? How about covenanting love? How about promising love and performing love and unabrading love? Unchangeable, spontaneous love. From all eternity, I have loved thee. Enriching love. Love dying for us. Costly, generous, espousing, redeeming, keeping, sanctifying love. His loves are better than wine. Love that will one day present his bride, accepted in himself and without spot and without wrinkle, unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. It's better than wine. What does it mean? That love is more gladdening, it's more satisfying, it's more abundant, it's more robust, it's more exalting. Reminding us of Ezekiel's river flowing from under the threshold of the temple. It's quickening and it's healing and it's saving when it went. And such is the love of Christ. It justifies, it sanctifies, it unites the child of God and it glorifies them and him. But dear one, it must be tasted to be enjoyed. Eat abundantly and drink abundantly, my beloved. And remember that our Lord, when parting from his disciples, he took the cup and he consecrated the wine as the symbol and the seal of his undying love for them, saying, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Take this and divide it among you." Dear, when the Lord's Supper for the believing heart feeding upon Christ by faith is receiving the kisses of Christ and the loves of Christ. And it is my prayer as we continue in this week of self-examination that you may see more of that in your own experience, the glory of such a Redeemer as Christ, and that you may long for him, that you may walk even to that table, that banqueting table, saying, "Kiss me." Amen.